Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We'll get started now. I'm Sasha Kapadia. I'm Director of Global Advisory at ODI, and it is my immense privilege to have oversight over the ODI Fellowship Scheme. The ODI Fellowship Scheme is really a one-of-a-kind program in global development, which for 60 years has been placing young professionals in public sector agencies all over the world. I'm here today to introduce you to the scheme, as well as to a current fellow and a few alums of the program, because today we opened applications for recruitment for our next cycle of fellows. I have a very short presentation that I will get through, but the most important aspect of this call is for you to ask us your questions. And we have two alums of the program, as well as a current fellow, to give you really an insider perspective into what it's like to be a fellow. I will turn it over to my colleague, Darren Lomas, to introduce himself, and then we'll go over to our current fellow and alums.
Hi, I'm Darren. So I work on the recruitment, selection, placement of fellows, also the monitoring, evaluation of the main post, and I work a lot with the different employing ministries. And I'll pass you over now to Menno.
Hi everyone. My name is Menno. I'm from the Netherlands. It's a bit like it's already a while since I was an ODI fellow in Uganda and in South Africa. And I can still say that was definitely the best part of my career. And I'm currently not working. I'm on a sabbatical, so I have all the time to talk here to you guys. So great to connect.
Thanks, Menno. Over to Sarah.
Hi everyone, lovely to be here and having the opportunity to speak with you all. I was a fellow in Nigeria between 2019 and 2022, and similarly had a really excellent experience. So looking forward to answering any questions.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm Femke. I'm a current fellow in Ghana. Ghana is currently having very, very bad internet problems, so don't mind me if I cut out of this call suddenly. Loving the fellowship. I'm currently in my office here in Accra. I'm very excited to tell you guys more about the fellowship.
Last but not least, Eleanor.
Hi guys, sorry. I'm sorry for background noise. I'm joining from the statistics office in Sierra Leone. So I'm definitely still in the continent and even in basically the similar role. I was in Ethiopia before in the statistics office doing their census, and now I sort of I then became a census sort of expert around Africa. So I worked on the censuses in Kenya and Mauritius and actually Ghana's census too. And then Sierra Leone, and then Sierra Leone dragged me and convinced me to move here. So I'm working on the multiple indicator cluster survey here.
Thanks, Eleanor. So we have a really tremendous group of current and former fellows, all with a nice spectrum of years in between. As I said, I'm going to go through a really brief presentation just to give you a bit of context for the scheme, and then we'll turn it over to our fellows to speak about their experience. What is the ODI Fellowship Scheme? So it is a demand-led partnership between ODI and public sector agencies in low and middle-income countries. As I mentioned at the start of this session, we have been running this program for 60 years. And it is a really, really unique opportunity to provide really hands-on experience into what it takes to run a government. And to understand what it's like to deliver public services at scale. It's a win-win arrangement. So governments benefit because they get really, really stellar young professionals who are driven and motivated with immense technical skill to be embedded for a period of 2 years. And fellows benefit. As you heard, it's a life-changing experience that provides insight like no other. The program is 60 years old, and we've partnered with over 60 agencies all over the world. From the Caribbean all the way to the South Pacific. There are 1,300 fellows in the network as it stands, and they've gone on to do really compelling and meaningful work, whether it's in the countries where they were posted, or in the region where they were posted, or completely separate from it, and they go back and join their own governments to be better development professionals. We have a broad list of countries where we currently have placed fellows. So Femke is in Ghana. She's got a couple of other fellows in country with her. Typically, we do try to place more than one fellow in a particular country so that there's a bit of support system there for fellows. But as you can see, the list is broad. Why do host governments want fellows? So this is a little a snapshot into the life of a fellow, some images in situ. Fellows contribute to stronger institutions. So they help to strengthen internal systems. Often a civil service in a lower middle income country sees a lot of turnover, right? So there often isn't an opportunity to establish long-standing and resilient systems that allow for strategic planning to take place. And so when a fellow comes in, they're able to assess and suggest improvements to the status quo and provide some fundamental training to their colleagues about how to put in place those systems. They help set the course or set the agendas for new subnational or national policies by providing some of their technical insight. Because of their insider outsider status, they're really good at building out networks and coalitions so that the local officials can be as apprised and well positioned to navigate those relationships. Ultimately, they contribute something to their work environment. They have a real desire to be as immersed and enmeshed in the work culture as possible in order to be as seamlessly integrated as possible. But most important, they advance mutual learnings. Fellows get as much out of the experience as their local counterparts. So why do the fellowship? Well, we've talked about it on every slide. It's a unique and immersive experience. It provides a level of visibility into a global development that allows and forms leaders to do what's right. It allows personal growth and professional skills. It gives fellows an ability to be resilient. Times are not always easy. It provides opportunities to get creative, working around constraints. And it forges a real sense of humility because you're not always going to know the answer to the problem that you face. And so it creates a really well-rounded professional, especially to have this experience early in your career. And of course, you get to see a new place, you get to learn a new culture. It's all quite exciting. What do fellows do? Typically fellows have an economics or a statistics background, but really a related field in international development studies is quite useful. The bulk of fellows are in finance planning or central bank, but we also have fellows in line ministries like health and education and agriculture and environment, trade. But there are fellows like Femke who are statistics experts and are in stats ministries, and Eleanor has that background as well. So on a day-to-day basis, what do fellows do? They can analyze data and more, it's big data that they're analyzing to help solve problems. They're doing analysis on this data to provide really concrete and tangible guidance on what can be done, whether it's relative to budgets and forecasting or responding to a crisis. And we have Sarah here who had a COVID fellowship, so I'm sure she knows a whole lot about responding to crisis. As I mentioned before, system strengthening is a really key part of a fellowship. Finding ways to make systems work better is quite essential. And this is at the micro level, so really figuring out how to use Teams effectively, but also at the macro level, coordinating with multiple and diverse stakeholders on budget processes, for example. And a real value, again, of that insider-outsider positioning is this ability to build networks and communicate complex ideas, knowing how to translate what's going on in the broader landscape of development in your particular country, and working with the right sets of advisors to make sure that your stakeholders within the ministry or within the agency are as informed as possible. How does it work? So we at ODI, we run the scheme at large. So we select candidates. We identify posts. So Darren is our lead on that. And we work very closely with host institutions to determine what skills are in demand. We invite all selected fellows to London for a pre-departure briefing. You're here for a week, and we tell you everything you need to know to get you ready to go off to your placement. We oversee the overall administration of the scheme, so monthly payments, flights, insurance, reports to our funders, things of that nature. This cannot be overemphasized. ODI is responsible for your well-being, for your safety. So we have a global security team in place that works 24/7, literally 24/7, to ensure that fellows have the tools and resources to keep themselves safe outside of their home countries. So that is our, and we take that responsibility very seriously. Forgive me, there's a siren here, but there's the employer, so the agency for whom you work, is responsible for the day-to-day. So we work with them closely to craft a job description, and we recruit fellows according to those job descriptions. But they're responsible for managing a fellow on a day-to-day. So what does the work program look like? What's the office environment? That's their remit. They are responsible for making sure that you are as integrated as possible, so that your status is as similar as it can be to that of a local peer, a local civil servant of commensurate experience. And this includes often the payment of a local salary in line with local expectations. They're meant to assist you with relevant work permits, residence permits. Of course, ODI can play a role in that, in helping to draft formal letters or intervene where necessary. But that's really their role, since they're on the ground. And of course, they need to make sure that you are you're prepared and to do well and to do your job successfully on a day-to-day basis. So what does a fellow do? A fellow works. This is their job, right? So they are, meant to do their best on a day-to-day basis, but they're not expected to have all the answers, right? So that's where the network of fellows comes in. That's where the network of former fellows comes in. And it's where ODI comes in, frankly. We are all here to support fellows to be as successful as possible in their roles. But fellows must respect the rules of their host institutions. Sometimes they're maybe a bit onerous, but there are no special privileges necessarily for a fellow in post. They're ultimately accountable to their local employer. So even though that gig, for a short-term consultancy that you could do, at night with the World Bank sounds really exciting, that's not the point of the fellowship. You really need to make sure that you give your 100% to your host institution. Otherwise, it jeopardizes the reputation of the scheme. And again, be collegial, be respectful, be considerate, be kind. Know that you have a lot to learn, but also a lot to gain from the experience. So who are we looking for? Well, you have to have a master's degree. It can be in progress right now, but before you begin your fellowship, your master's degree must be attained. And you need to have a desire to apply those technical skills in a really practical way. Increasingly, we see fellows with more and more work experience. That's great. Applicants see the fellowship as an opportunity to perhaps pivot in their careers. And we definitely are looking, we're not looking at people who are just out of master's degrees. We are definitely processing and considering applicants who have more experience. You have to roll with the punches. You have to be able to get on in situations that may be out of your comfort zone. So again, resilience, humility, adaptability, cultural sensitivity, these are all traits that we look for and that we evaluate in the interview process. That said, we encourage applications and from everyone. So all nationalities are welcome to apply, and we encourage applications from the LGBTQ plus and disabled communities. Know that ODI will work with you very, very closely if you are from one of those marginalized communities or underserved communities. We will work with you to ensure that you are placed in a role that will ultimately be positioned for your success, right? We won't put you somewhere that makes you deeply uncomfortable or that threatens you in any way. We want to make sure that you have a great experience. Applications are now open, so they will be open until the end-ish of April. We encourage you to apply early, though we know most applications come in the last 2 days or so, but the application is open for 6 weeks. And for all inquiries, please do reach out to the fellowship team at fellows@odi.org. With that, I'm all done. And so I will turn it over to, let's see, Femke. Given that we have some bandwidth constraints potentially in Accra, perhaps best to get your remarks in as quickly as possible. So for everybody's reference, Femke again is a current fellow at the Ghana Statistical Service. She's been in post for a bit over a year, and she was recently joined by a new fellow. So there are two of them now in the Ghana Statistical Service. Over to you, Femke.
Thank you so much. Very nice to hear your introduction already. A very many familiar things to hear, so that's good. I made some few slides. They're very old. I made them somewhere last year, updated them quickly. So I just want to tell a little bit about my experience. Let's see. What do? I'm a fellow at Ghana Statistical Service. I never know how to describe myself. ODI fellow, statistician, data analyst, data scientist, economist, any of the above. I work in the Economic Statistics Directorate, and my role is very, and I think a lot of ODI fellows will have that, it's very broad. I work in economic statistics, and I had to identify where there is room for improvement. By that, I ended up mainly in the trade statistics section. So I've been here for, just a year and a few months now. My main project has been on trade statistics. When I arrived, the trade team didn't publish any data for like 4 years already. No export, no import, no nothing. So that had to change. A big role I played there in making sure all historical data is accurate, but especially setting up a manual to, from now onwards, quarterly published trade statistics in line with international standards, written reports on trade data, like a lot of different things. We've working been working on a new indicator, a little bit like a CPI for inflation, but then for trade, a unit value index. That's the thing I've been working on. Currently, there's maybe many of you might know of the census in general. I think Eleanor will tell us more about that as well. In Ghana, there's not a census going on now, but a business census where we're literally counting all businesses in the country. Well, there are millions of businesses in Ghana, so that's a big project. I'm assisting on that. And basically, a lot of other projects. I've done things on tourism, I've done things on corruption, I've done things on what else? Earnings inequality, lots of projects. And then capacity building. I think that came out of Sasha's presentation as well. Quite a role as an ODI fellow is to improve the institution in some way. For me, I'm quite good at R, programming in R. I enjoy it and I enjoy teaching people that. And I think at GSS here, a lot of people are eager to learn that. And it's really at a point where we can improve our system when teaching people R. So I've been given a lot of training. That's a very quick overview. I think, yes, for my application, I was on a webinar like this 2 years ago. Now I live in Accra. For me, the whole application was online because of COVID things. Spoke to some old fellows as well. I honestly wasn't very sure to do it. I thought, let's apply and I will never do it. Or well, I thought I would never get accepted. Then I thought, if I get accepted, I will never do it because it's too crazy. I will never move to a different country. Here I am, really enjoying it, super happy I applied. So honestly, just apply if you might be interested. You will discover along the way whether it is a fit for you or not. Concluding, my experience is really great. I think the work is interesting and challenging. For me, maybe it's not even on the slides. It's super special that you're within the government of a country. A lot of other expats live here and all work for like UN, World Bank, or whatever institution, but they don't understand how it really works within the government. So I think that's a really unique experience. Great opportunity. So yeah, that's my very positive view of ODI. I think I spoke long enough. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Thanks, Femke. Maybe we go to Eleanor next, given that there's that st the statistics link between the two of you.
Hi. Thank you. I haven't prepared anything to say. I've been too busy, but I will think of some things. This also shows that one of the biggest strengths of ODI is definitely the community. I actually met some ODI fellows that were Sierra Leone, in Sierra Leone this weekend, which is funny. And you keep using that network, right? So you keep still to this day. Actually, even Fimke, I'm going to reach out to you after this because I'm working on a trade thing with Ghana as part of now with UNECA, who I think we're in Ghana the other week doing trade and value added modeling. You continue to use this network going forward, and I always still reach out to even Joseph, that was the ODI here, who gave me all the recommendations of places to go. It's definitely a strong community that you continue to support, and you create such an amazing bond relationship with if you are in the country with anyone. So Oscar, who's my counselor, who's in the Ministry of Education. And it's great learning, actually, other people's experiences of inside their own ministries. My experience in Ethiopia was rough, not gonna lie, in terms of the ministry, because Ethiopia does not accept foreigners so much, and because I was the only white person in the statistics agency, so it was challenging at first. But that's part of the journey, and that's something that builds your skills. Skills a lot, and learning to how to get the trust and build the relationships that you needed to really succeed and also help and work out exactly where your help should be and can help. So for example, for the census, it was delayed a couple of times as well, and actually never has still to this day not happened because of politics. So we did four pilots. So we were really, really ready to do it. But you know, like what I learned is I mean, I learned two things. One is that you coming in, having done economics, and you sort of have done your master's and you learn all about your solar growth model, and you realize that actually what they need is to help build a models to help them make sure that there's pencils that reach the right areas on time. And they will have the distribution of tablets, but they will also get back tablets, which didn't happen first time around. They kept tablets and they would have given back. So these sort of systems and just working out exactly where the gaps are and where how you can support, which is a really good skill and a skill that I still use to this day in my work. And so yeah, that's the first thing. And then the second thing was also just helping identify where they need capacity. And you also have your colleagues sort of requesting, can we get training in this? Can we get training in this? And then you develop training and you provide it, and it's really like needs, you really understand the need and then you just sort of fill it. So it's the best sort of needs assessment like live you can do. So yeah, and then the networks that I made during that. So we had, at the ministry, we had training from ONS, Office of National Statistics. So I met someone called Garnet there who works on censuses in censuses, and then he helped me sort of reach find out people at Economic Commission for Africa, UNECA. And then I still work with them for this day. And now, even now in Sierra Leone, doing the multiple indicator cluster survey, he's reached out to me and he's going to come and provide some sort of key lessons learned training here at the statistics office. So, yeah, it's a really, you learn, it's a steep learning curve. It can be difficult and it can be challenging, but you learn a lot of life skills and you learn a lot of adaptability and flexibility and the network you continue to use for, I think, the rest of your life. So, thank you.
Thank you, Eleanor. Menno, over to you.
Yeah, sure. So I think I'm maybe a little bit atypical compared to the other ones. I guess it's the first that I had worked in these for quite a number of years before I started the fellowship. So I was working at the Dutch Central Bank as an IMF and G20 coordinator. And there were all these stories about China taking over Africa by pumping it full with debt. And yeah, my motivation to apply for ODI was partially, will be the second part of the story and that I will tell later, is that my boyfriend went abroad and I was like, okay, I also wanna leave the country for 2 years. And then the ODI fellowship came by and I thought it would be a unique opportunity to then 2 years see some of the things that I saw from the Western world and from the discussions that at the central bank to see it in practice. So I applied. I was a bit hesitant, to be honest, as a gay man. And then being posted in Uganda, as we all probably know, like definitely not the most friendly country, we could even say among the worst. And during the year that I was there, also it was in the run-up to the presidential elections. It was also the year that discussion started again about a reintroduction of the death penalty for homosexuality. So for me, the fellowship consists for like if I have to break it down into two main things, it's like a personal, very challenging experience, and challenging also in positive ways, which is going to be hard for me to like explain in a few minutes. And from a work perspective, like has been, I think, the best year of my career so far. I want to say to everyone that is from the LGBTQ plus community here and that is considering to apply, ODI indeed has given the best support possible and has been there all the time to like, monitor whether or not the situation was fine and whether or not I was at any risks. And from the moment that I started to feel uncomfortable, which was after a year, ODI helped me to move from Uganda to South Africa, which has a constitution that is one of the most progressive in the world. So even though it was very sad for me to leave Uganda, I quickly want to say that first thing, given that also, yeah, it was Sasha, you mentioned that you encourage people from the LGBTQ plus community to apply. So I guess from that first part, a bit like me being gay in a country like Uganda, I decided to go back into the closet. I also did not move there with my partner. So therefore it was I lived I kept my sexuality a secret. Not easy, but given that the task that was available in Uganda was so interesting, I made the cost benefit assessment of that and I decided to do it. And I can honestly say that it was an amazing experience. So I worked in the public debt office, and had a very soft landing because there was a fellow working there before. So I took over her position. So I think that's also, it hugely varies what kind of experience people have when they start as a fellow. But quite a lot of postings are also like a bit more continuous. So I filled in a gap of someone leaving, and that person had done incredible work. So from the start, from day one, everybody was very happy that they would keep having a fellow, and the work environment was very constructive and elaborative. So I studied debt of state-owned enterprises mainly. So Uganda was known to have quite a high debt position before a massive relief program, the HIPC program. But slowly the debt position of the country started to increase again just before I moved there. And the debt was mainly kind of hidden in state-owned enterprises. And to just say like, how the work can look like I wanted to know what loans which loans these state-owned enterprises had contracted, and there was no database. So it was me and the colleagues in the car with a printer in the back of the car, going to these state-owned enterprises, knocking on their door with a letter from the Minister of Finance saying that we wanted to know what these loans, whether or not they have loans, and it was just copying these loans that they all just had available on paper and trying to make from that like paper reality and an analysis that could actually, that allowed us to say something about the debt position of the country. I mainly want to say like it's not going to be every day easy, but when you keep an eye on the bigger picture and when you know why you're there for, like I don't know, I thought it was definitely among my best experiences of my career so far. I can really say that. I can also really resonate with what Eleanor was saying. Last weekend, we had also ODI fellows over here. And I'm still in many WhatsApp groups. When I travel to London, there's always a warm welcome of quite a big community. I'm currently, I left the central bank recently because I was about to become a senator in the Dutch Senate. But that in the end didn't turn out. And I'm now looking for a job. And you can really see that. My network from ODI is giving me a lot of opportunities and it's just I think like I can just say to you just do not doubt or to apply just apply and I'm actually sure like everyone has said that to me before and I was like this can't be true but it is really true it is going to be among your most remarkable experiences of your career. I think I will leave it to there.
Thanks so much, Menno. Last but not least, Sarah.
Thanks so much. I'm just gonna share a couple slides as well. Perfect. Great. I was a fellow between 2019 and 2022, so COVID years. But you'll notice I actually did an additional year. So I think that goes to show just how much I enjoyed the fellowship experience. I applied during my master's, and I had no experience in I had some work experience, but no experience in development, and no experience working on the African continent. So in that way, the fellowship experience was very new to me. But as I say, I stayed that extra year, so it was definitely worthwhile. So I was in the Ministry of Health in Nigeria in the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency. So I worked with the health financing division, and I worked on a very broad variety of projects. I think that's one of the great things about the fellowship. You can work on a wide variety of things, and sometimes things that you wasn't even in your plan, you can kind of get on board with, which is excellent. I worked on a very large scale project results-based financing project with which was funded jointly by the World Bank, which covered up to over 8 states and 35 million people. So it was a huge project. That was when I first joined, and I really joined at the end of that program and in the end of a 10-year program. So my involvement there was more around the program evaluation, working with really large databases, working with states on really refining the data systems, which was a kind of a steep learning curve for me, but I learned a lot throughout that. And then I also got to experience kind of higher level policy development, particularly around health financing policy, which was really interesting as well, working at that higher level. But then day to day, you could also be just running capacity building sessions on really basic Excel learning. So there's a wide variety for you to do. Not every day is the same. I also got to do some field work within the first few months that I was there, which I really appreciated. You could do health facility checks and really see how the programs were running at that base level. Obviously, I was there during COVID, so within 4 months, that kind of came to a stop, and work changed quite drastically then from working from home. So again, I think it's been touched upon quite a lot. The fellowship teaches you how to be kind of adaptable, resilient. You have to kind of roll with the punches, which is, yeah, great learning. And I was kind of reflecting on some of the highs and the lows to give you a really honest depiction of how things are. I think I'll start with the highs of the fellowship. It's a fantastic way to get into development. And I think, as previous participants have said, you really learn, you're within the ministry, which is such a unique opportunity. You're within your government agency. Lots of your peers will be working maybe for the UN, they'll be working for NGOs, they'll be on the outside looking in. Being able to work from the inside out offers you a huge variety of opportunities, and you can really understand how systems work, how policy is developed. Sometimes it can be a little bit frustrating. There's the usual government bureaucracy. Sometimes things can be slow, sometimes they can be siloed. But you develop that really deep understanding of how things operate. And then I think the opportunity for personal and professional development is also kind of really unique. You can learn those key skills, but also learning how to, those interpersonal relationships, learning how to navigate with your colleagues, it's invaluable, and you can make lifelong friends there as well. That deep understanding of your country context is something that's really helped me. I'm now in doing my PhD on large federalized countries and health financing. So it's kind of directly led on from my fellowship in Nigeria. And what I've learned there within 3 years is really helped my career and shaped my career now. I think as well, you have this flexible working opportunity. So you can work maybe not necessarily a 9 to 5, but you are given a position where you might be later on in your fellowship, you might be able to shape some of the work that you're doing and your TORs once you've built that trust within your agency, which maybe offers up more opportunities than your kind of typical job role, which obviously comes with more responsibility, but also great opportunities. And yeah, the opportunities that it opens up once your fellowship is over. So, despite being a small, kind of relatively small fellowship scheme, ODI is kind of globally recognized. And that network that has been touched upon is lifelong. My current PhD supervisor is an ex-ODI fellow. So you just keep running into everyone, and that's great. Some of the lows, maybe I shouldn't call them lows, maybe I should call them challenges. It can be unpredictable. I turned up on my first day of work. There was no one in the office, and everyone had traveled and on field work, and they hadn't told me. so I had to just wait 2 weeks for them to come back. You just learn to roll with the punches, to laugh at these things. You become adaptable and resilient and good at problem solving as a result. It doesn't mean it's not frustrating when you're living through it, but it's really builds you up as a person, I think. And I think it's important to say that there's ebbs and flows within your fellowship. You get these kind of extreme highs, of everything going well, you're really enjoying work, your personal life. Then that can also come with really frustrating periods. If your visa's not coming through, if you're having health problems, it can be frustrating. So I think don't expect a very linear 2, 3 years. Things will ebb and flow. And when things are going worse, remember to reach out to those networks and they become really critical. There's also a quite a hands-off approach from ODI, which is the point of the fellowship. You work with your ministry and under your ministry, but that can be an adjustment if you're kind of not used to that. But yeah, remember it's up to you to reach out to them as well sometimes if there are problems and you are struggling. It can be hard if you're comparing to maybe peers who have a whole office and system there, and you're just yourself within your ministry. So do reach out if you need to. I think it goes without saying that there's external factors and things that are unexpected. I was there for 4 months before COVID happened, and then obviously that changed my fellowship and changed the way we operated. You might have an election year where things can become quite challenging. You might have civil unrest. We had nationwide protests when I was in Nigeria. It's just about kind of being adaptable and judging the safety, and yeah, keeping that contact with ODI as well. There's also the security point of view. I think it depends where you are. Nigeria was a relatively unsafe country compared to others, but Abuja in the capital was, I found safe. So it's just bearing those things in mind. And then kind of some final key takeaways. Sorry, I've spoken for quite a while. I think it's been mentioned before, just to give yourself a bit of an adjustment period. You're going to arrive in a new country. You're going to want to get going with work. There might be holdups with that. I think just be a bit patient. Don't set out to think you're going to achieve everything in the first 3 months. You're there for 2 years. Pace yourself, get to know the system. That can take some time. Building trust with your colleagues can take time. I'd say 6 months before you think about kind of sacking it all in is a good idea. Remembering life outside of work as well is really important. Making those connections, building your friendship group, that community. I've made lifelong friends during my fellowship, and I think that's also adds to the value of it. I spoke already about reaching out to the support team. Global security as well. I was in constant contact with them. You're never annoying them, always reach out. I think importantly, be responsive to what your agency needs. Don't go in with such strict ideas on what you're going to do. You are there to develop yourself, but more importantly, you're there to learn from your colleagues. They've been in this career perhaps for their whole life. You're just entering into their agency. So be respectful of that. Be humble, be willing to learn as well as teach. And sometimes also recognize that you are coming from quite a privileged position as well. So just be aware of who you are and where you're coming from. And yeah, your fellowship is what you make of it. So say yes, get involved. Do things outside of work, and yeah, make yourself available for things. And yeah, I think that's everything.
Thanks, Sarah. Not too long at all, but we have a very, very lively conversation going on in the Q&A. There's one question about could each fellow give a tip about the application process to understand what you believe made you successful? Sarah, do you want to go first since you just dropped off? Or Femke, I'm not, whoever wants to go first.
Sure, I'll go. I think for me, it was like, just be very honest. I have like zero experience with developing countries, for example. Like I had never been, like I'd been on a holiday. Don't try to be someone else than you are. Don't try to say, oh, I went on a holiday to Tanzania and now I know so much about African countries. Be upfront and say, I don't have no work experience there, but I would love to get it. Right? Just be very truthful. I think that's very important because ODI will know it if.
Thanks, Lemka. Mena, what about you? One tip.
So I was just looking at my application form. So maybe indeed be honest, but I was also thinking about when I was interviewed. So when I guess you took the first hurdle, and I put all my reservations and all my thoughts on the table. So I didn't pretend that I was not a gay man, or did pretend that like leave information backwards. Like I put everything on the table straight away. So I also shared my concerns. So I think be honest and open also about your reservations, because so far as I've always felt it, like the team that will interview as well, they are looking for a good fit. And yeah, they can also tell you then in the interview and also through the entire application process whether or not your concerns or considerations are yeah, whether or not you might be overthinking things or not. So yeah, just be open about everything, I would say.
Thanks, Menno. Eleanor, what about you? We lose
I
Eleanor.
think she's not here anymore.
Oh, okay. I can't. My screen is full of the Q&A. So, Sarah, what about you?
Maybe I can just jump in. I echo what the previous fellows have said. I think maybe not even the application, maybe the slight bit after the application. Also keep an open mind. I had a very set idea of the country that I wanted to be allocated to. And then I got the email through saying, you're going to Abuja, Nigeria. And I freaked out, Googled Nigeria, was very alarmed about where they were trying to send me. And then I spoke with some fellows that were in country, calmed down a little bit, and then I absolutely love Nigeria, wouldn't change it, change my fellowship experience at all. So I think just stay open throughout the application process, especially on the country allocation as well.
Thanks so much, Sarah. So there's a question here about building a community abroad. What's that like? How lonely is it? How hard is it to make friends and to get settled?
I think that really depends, but I think that first week in London, I try to connect to everybody in the region, and these are still my friends. So that 1 week in London, really do not miss it. Next to what you will learn about, there's going to be like there're going to be courses and all that and presentations, but the main thing there was for me to connect to others, and I decided to live with a fellow. And he's still a great friend, but that was also because I wanted to have one person in the country that knew that I was gay, and a person, because when my boyfriend would come and visit, like he would stay with us. So even though I was closeted, I would say that it wasn't lonely. I've connected to a lot of different people. Also, still Ugandans are still good friends of mine, like my boss. I talked to her quite recently again. There are, of course, huge differences when it comes to education, or what Sarah said correctly, like, you know, we are very privileged compared to some of the colleagues that you might be working with. So approaching that carefully is, I think, really important, and having a sense of like, yeah, just being aware of that, and also not necessarily shying away from that, and not talking about that at all, but just, I think, you know, being understand, yeah, you need to be, yeah, sensitive for that. But I would say that the fellowship was anything but lonely. I would rather say that my work experiences here at the Dutch Central Bank for 7 years was more lonely and more time with my computer than the year in Uganda, South Africa.
I think I'm very, very aligned with Menno, everything he says. Well, I also live with another fellow, which is like my best friend here, which is super nice. It was, I think, the first day at ODI. We're like, you're going to Ghana? You're going to Ghana? You want to live together? Very awkward. Great decision though. It depends a lot on the fellow though. I think I'm way more like outgoing, or like I want more activities than he wants in his week. I want activities every evening, and he wants activities only on Friday and Saturday at most. That's fine. Like you can just live your own life. I don't think anyone should be worried about it. Like, yes, it will be difficult at times. Yes, you're in a different country, but in the same way, you will find your own ways, you'll find your friends. So I think that's like the least thing to worry about.
Yeah, I think I agree. You find things to do. I had a great social life in Abuja, even though the city itself wasn't so big. You find things to do. You get involved in sports teams. You go hiking. There's meals out. I think just be open, say yes, and again, just give yourself a bit of time. I was really concentrating on finding a house for like 2 months and not making friends. So that will come, and make friends with the people who in your colleagues as well and in your home countries. So yeah.
On that point, Sarah, somebody has asked about the accommodation situation. So at ODI, we provide you with a salary top-up to complement or to supplement really the local contribution that the public sector agency gives you. But we also provide a housing or a lodging accommodation. So can you speak a little bit about how you found your house or your apartment?
Yeah, I think this is one of the unique things about the fellowship as well. You find your own accommodation, which is great because then you have the flexibility to figure out where you want to live, who you want to live with. In Nigeria, though, it was a bit more complicated. You had to pay for a year rent up front, which caused a few problems. I thought it would cause a few problems, but ODI knew all about it and they were very responsive. I was struggling to find accommodation, I think, and I was worried about paying for the hotel for a bit longer. ODI was really helpful in that respect, and they said, no, stay in the hotel for as long as you need until we can help you out. ODI understand the countries that you're going to. They've worked with them for a long time. They're not sending you in without any knowledge. They understand the country context. So just be very open with them about your worries and concerns. They've probably preempted it already. And yeah, I was able to organize it in the end.
Well, Femke said that she cornered her fellow.
Yeah, like I had a lucky thing that, like, my previous, well, the fellow I lived with, he went to Ghana like 2 weeks before I did. So he found us a house, and then I arrived in Ghana. He picked me up from the airport. So it was a luxurious life. After half a year, we were like, oh, we paid quite a bit for this house. Let's find a different place. So we moved. Often you can use previous fellows as well. If they're ex-fellows in the country, reach out to them because it's so much easier in the country to arrange it than beforehand. So really don't stress too much. I was quite stressed beforehand, like how can I move to a country I don't have a house in? Don't worry, either you'll stay in a hotel or other fellows can help you around. Like it will, yeah, you'll figure it out. It's quite fun. Yeah.
May I know anything on housing from you?
Oh, I thought yeah, the housing was the least of the issues, I would say. Like in Uganda, there are a lot of expats that but like very cl like there are a lot of different options to get in touch with a lot of different people, I guess. But like through Facebook, I had a house, I think, within 2 days. So the housing was really not the issue, and ODI is quite generous in its allowance. Like you won't become rich of it, but also you won't. I think it's all very fair. So I think that's like most people, I think, share housing. Like I don't know any fellow that lived by themselves. Almost everybody shared housing in some way. Some people didn't want to live in an expat community or didn't want to live with fellows because they really wanted them to live with Ugandans. In my case, people made different decisions on that. People that generally lived a bit more outside the city and had a longer commute paid way less than the people like me that want to live in the city center to be close to the fire. But even like while we lived, I would say, in a really okay neighborhood and everything was great, like from them, yeah, I would say it's all relatively affordable. Oh yeah, I also checked in with you on that. At least that was the case when we were there. Like, they wanted to know about our housing situation. They wanted to know about the safety of it. And even the people that went to, in my eyes, the most crazy countries, like, I think their housing was fine. It's more getting sick that it's annoying in the beginning than finding a good place to live, I would say. Yeah.
Minna, you touched on this. The salary, was it comfortable? So you said, it was, you're not going to become rich, but it was enough. Do you want to expound on that, or do any of our other fellows want to expound on that?
So I worked at the central bank before, so I'm not gonna lie, yeah, you earn way more at a Dutch institution often or at a European institution than as an ODI fellow, but also the living costs in most of the countries are way lower. Housing was more expensive in Kampala than it is in Rotterdam or Amsterdam or another big Dutch city. But that's why ODI pays you with a housing allowance on top of your salary, which makes sure, based on previous experiences of fellows, and they use other data for that, that you are able to find yourself in a safe and comfortable place to live. I don't know, I during the 2 years, so I lived first year in Uganda and then a year in South Africa. I've traveled extensively throughout the country. I've bought a car. Like, you get an allowance at the beginning to be able to set yourself up. Like, some people really try to save everything. I did spend everything in the 2 years, so mainly because I wanted to to dive into all the experiences that the continent for me had to offer. And when you go as a tourist to East Africa, you can spend fortunes, but you will also find out once you live there, with a permit, you things are cheaper. Like, I saw the gorillas 4 times, whereas like most people go see them once and it's absolutely unaffordable. Like, also the connections with colleagues at work, they will try to help you to get the best time of your life because they also just love it that you ch choose for this opportunity. So please don't worry about money, but also don't expect to become rich of it, which would also be weird, right? Because then you could have hired more fellows. Yeah.
A small side note though, like, don't expect indeed to earn a lot of money. Like, you will be one of the poorer expats. Like, all my friends earn way more than I do. But I'm fine with that. ODI hasn't increased salaries in many, many years. So, like, I think
We're increasing them, Femke. We're increasing them.
Woo!
I just
Very
approved an
good.
increase. So you should get
Lovely.
a
Nice.
note in the next few weeks. It'll be effective actually next month. So
Lovely. Lovely.
good news.
Very
First
good news.
to
No, like,
hear.
I want to say, like, previous fellows I spoke to were like, oh, you earn a lot. And then they were like, wait a second, you still earn the same thing. So besides that, so still you don't worry. I thought I would really save nothing. I'm living the best life, doing anything, very like luxurious beach resorts on the weekends, all of that, and I'm still saving money. So you don't have to worry about it. You won't be very rich. Maybe with this new increase, let's see.
Sarah, anything to add on to that?
Yeah, maybe I have a different perspective because I'm back being a poor student again. But the salary is absolutely fine. You'll do great. And also remember, even if the salary is less than other expats, again, remember to be respectful for your national colleagues who are definitely earning a lot less than you. So still buy them lunch, buy them dinner, and yeah, remember the privilege.
Maybe quickly on that session, because it was mentioned also in your presentation that there is also the local salary. So I decided to not tell my colleagues that I would, like, because I got the same as my local colleagues by being hired by the ministry, and on top of that I got a supplement from the from ODI. But yeah, I decided to not share that. I was generous to all my colleagues, like Sarah said, but yeah, it is quite sensitive salaries in general, and a lot of the people are working at ministries. And as for instance, like in Uganda, yeah, you earn very, very little. So yeah, be careful with spreading the word about like getting extra cash from ODI, I would say.
Well, we are 1 minute over, and I want to make sure that we get people back to their evenings in Europe or even further east. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Sarah, Menno, Eleanor and Femke for joining us. Hearing from fellows directly is always the best way to learn about the fellowship. The application, Darren has told me, should be up shortly. So it's not live yet, but it does go live today. And it will be open until April 30th. So you have quite some time to submit an application. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to be in touch with the team at fellows@odi.org. And looking forward to reading your applications. Thank you so much, everyone.